I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and we hope the inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 219. And for those of you who wondered where Brian was last week, I don't know, but I'm so glad he's back because I hate doing the show alone.
I'm sure you did a really nice job.
I hate doing podcasts by myself.
I agree with you after now doing it for a while. I think it, how do I say this properly? Podcasts that I listen to, when there's two people on it, they seem to be more interesting.
Yeah, because people are eavesdropping on your conversation as opposed to listening to one person just go on.
Yes.
And on. And on, which I am wont to do.
Now, so. I think both of us are wont to do.
Well, so you were away for a while.
I was. I went to Nashville, Tennessee for the first time in my life, which was a wonderful visit.
It is a nice city.
We got some great weather the first 2 days, like mid-70s, just beautiful, perfect kind of that southern kind of weather. But it was great seeing my daughter. And I also saw an old co-host.
Who?
Alan Aisbett.
Oh, Alan, of course, he's moved to Nashville.
He did. He moved to Nashville. He was on the East Coast for a while, and then he, his wife, and his two children, they decided to move to Nashville earlier this year. And so when I was there, I saw him sat that Saturday evening, had a few pints with him.
And yeah, I'm not surprised.
It was great catching up with him and seeing him, and he seems to be doing really well.
Oh, that's great.
Working for a high-tech company again in community. But remotely from Nashville.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I hope you told him we all said hello.
I did. And I told him next time he's in San Jose, we have to get him back into these little booths and on the podcast.
It's not that little. I've seen some podcast rooms. These are pretty spacious compared to some. And you're feeling better. I know when you get back, you weren't feeling well.
I was out the whole week before. I'm feeling much, much better now. Still a little bit lingering of stuffiness, but at least the energy is coming back.
You're of that age, Brian. You got to get your flu shot.
Definitely. Especially after this one. It was so funny. I thought I had COVID again. And I did multiple COVID tests over a week and never had COVID, but it just was the flu. And fever, achy body, all that kind of fun stuff is not fun. I think flu shots in the future for me.
Yeah, I was thinking of that commercial, you know, the, if you've got headache, scratchy fever, and then the end, it's diarrhea.
I didn't have that one, thank goodness.
Brian, you know, last week we heard from two sellers who were visiting the campus here in San Jose as part of the eBay Main Street program. And this week, we'll hear from another seller who was here during that week. She's a good friend of the podcast, Patty Whitlock.
Fantastic.
It's the ongoing series that I like to call the Conversations with eBay Sellers.
Well, good. And in fact, since I don't have any eBay news to report this week, why don't we get right into the interview?
Excellent suggestion, Watson. One of the things that we love about seller visits to the campus is we get to... Well,
abscond to sellers.
Yeah, we do. We get to abscond with a seller and drag them into the podcast room, chain them to a seat and say, "Start talking." And joining us today, all the way from Florida, is Patty Whitlock. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Griff.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Brian.
Patty, what brings you to San Jose?
So I was invited by government relations for a 3-day run around campus and talk about all the issues that we're going to be facing pretty soon. Like, especially 1099.
Yep.
Yeah, 1099 is ongoing.
Yeah, 1099.
And we talked to Michael and Kathy. They talked about ShopSave.
Yeah, the ShopSave.
Yeah. Which I had no idea was a thing. So it was a bit shocking to learn about that. What did you learn this week?
Well, I learned that 1099s are coming and we need to go ahead and be prepared. The ShopSave, also the government relations, we're trying to go ahead and... introduce, it has been stopped right now, but it's coming back.
Yeah.
So we need to be prepared for that. And then also we learned that there have been several states that have already signed into this. And eBay is required by the government to have information about the sellers. And that's why we are requesting the driver's license upload and all that kind of stuff. And one little tip, if you guys are having problems with uploading the driver's license and whatnot, make sure that you don't have in your registration a landline because they sent you a notification.
Oh, by text.
And, yeah, exactly. So if you have the landline, you can't receive the notifications, right? So make sure that's very important and make sure that your name exactly matches your driver's license. Like, for example, with me, my driver's license is Patricia. Whitlock, but in my eBay registration is Patty.
Oh, dear.
So I have to go ahead and change it because otherwise it will boot the system. And what's happening, and hopefully eBay will go ahead and add this to the flaw, but it's something that says, you know, it tells you what is wrong. Basically, right now, it will not let you.
It just stops the process, but doesn't give you an error or why.
Exactly. Yeah. So
it just says you have to resubmit.
Sometimes, you're guessing what the resubmit is. Right.
But the most common ones are things like the image wasn't clear. So make sure you've got a really clear image. And then the second most common one is the information doesn't match. So Patty mentioned the name. Sometimes it's date of birth. I even saw a really rare case where the seller actually had the right date of birth on our site. The date of birth on their driver's license was incorrect. And who looks at their driver's license? I actually looked at my driver's license to make sure that the date of birth was right, because who would ever think that it was coming the other direction? So it's really, it's making sure the info matches.
Yeah. So that's why we're trying to go ahead and educate, and anybody out there that has friends, you know, selling on eBay or have groups, Facebook groups and stuff like that, please put like a little post saying, if you cannot get through it, try these steps before you can go ahead and have to call eBay and then overflow the lines.
My first attempt was blocked because I didn't know why. So I actually called up customer support and someone said, well, your picture doesn't match your age.
That would be like the picture I have on my badge for work.
Well, yeah, Brian's picture on his badge is from 1999. All right, so we're looking 22, almost 23 years ago, Brian. No, they said, yeah.
It is over 23, because yeah, it was June.
Yeah, it looks like you're using your grandfather's driving license. So.
I know, I saw that.
I'm joking, it went right through. But yeah, if you use your middle initial, like I do, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that matches. So even something like a middle initial. I wonder if you have like titles or suffixes like, you know,
junior or
the third, you know.
Yeah. I think it all has to match.
Yeah. It all has to match. So otherwise, it will boot you out and then you start all over again. And then people get frustrated because they're saying, well, I'm putting the stuff, but they're not really putting the stuff in correctly. They have to remember that eBay is there not to go ahead and like hassle them or whatever, right? It's there to protect them.
It's also information that we need. Because of the 1099-K and all of those rules. And so it's, you know, if we didn't have to ask you, we wouldn't. And for years, we didn't have to ask you.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, you have been saying this for years. For
I
years.
Have?
Yes. Oh, I mean, you're my Bible. I wrote down everything you say.
Oh, no, you're worshiping the wrong God. Sorry.
Well, you did write a Bible.
You did write a Bible.
I regret using that word.
But, you know, you said this years ago, and it was, if you make one penny, you need to report it.
Yeah.
Right. You might not pay taxes on it, depending on your situation, yeah. but all income is reportable.
Exactly. But this is not understandable by sellers. So, you know, when we had the $20,000 and the 200 transactions, everybody was, oh, well, I didn't make $20,000, so I don't need to go ahead and tell, you know, I don't need to go ahead and file. And I'm like, whoa. You do. If you make a penny, you need to go ahead and file. So right now, we have a lot of mom and pop sellers that come in and they're like, they're lost.
And the important thing there, as Griff mentioned it as well, is like, you might sell $20,000 on eBay, but it doesn't mean you were profitable to $20,000. And
right.
That's where it becomes important to have record keeping. And
I think that's important. We keep hitting this over and over and over. And I think the confusion and anxiety about 1099s, it's unnecessary, because all it is it's just a way for the payment processors like PayPal or eBay's mm-hmm. back-end payment processor is required by law to send these out now. And all it is it's just saying, hey, the IRS now has on record that you process this much in payment. What do you pay for taxes? I don't know, says eBay, says the payment processor. It's just the way for the IRS to know that you actually collected this much money. How you report that on your taxes is between you and your tax accountant or tax attorney.
Right.
Yeah. And it's very important, like Brian said, to keep records. I've had a run-in where I have to go ahead and provide records. And let me tell you something. They ask for everything. And I give this tip all the time. I keep a calendar and then I write my mileage on the calendar. So if I went to the post office, I will go ahead and say post office 3 miles or whatever. They ask me for that. And then they wanted to know the receipt from the post office to match the date where it was in the calendar. Keep records and then go talk to your tax accountant and then, you know, file. So that's what we're advising everybody.
Now that everyone, most everyone has a smartphone, once you receive a paper receipt, there are apps that you can use to, you know, scan it, keep an image of it. That's all you need to do. Now, you don't have to keep all those receipts in a shoebox.
Yeah.
You just need to create a habit where you're scanning them and have them. Almost everything I buy for resale has an email with a receipt or an invoice, like for eBay. Or if I buy on another marketplace for resale, oh, don't get me started. Oh. What the hell that place is. I have those emails, and those will suffice. What's nice about them is they're time and date stamped.
Yes.
So I know where I bought it, how much I paid for shipping, everything, and the time and the date and the place where I bought it. This is what I love about our modern world when it comes to the internet. There's a lot of stuff I'm not very happy about, especially right now. But there are some things like this, which makes it so much easier to keep records.
Oh, no. And it's amazing that you can go ahead and pull it all up at the end of the year. Another thing that I like to go ahead and tell people is keep track of your inventory, right? Because if you have inventory, that's an asset. That's money, and you have to go ahead and report it. And like you, see, I'm quoting him again because he's like, I write everything that he says, okay?
Oh, no. notice she doesn't quote me.
Follow him. He knows more than I do.
That is not true. Yeah,
Brian knows a lot about you. But okay, so you have said you list something, you tweak with it, blah, blah, and then it stays there, but it doesn't sell. What do you do? You're a big advocate of getting rid of
it. Get rid of stuff, yes.
Yeah, get rid of stuff.
It depends on the merchandise. There's some people who their inventory by nature is what we call long tail. Mm-hmm. So it may take forever to sell. People who sell books, don't expect them to sell the minute they list them.
Yeah.
But if you have a kind of a general thrift store sort of thing in your listing, if you've got something that's up for more than a few months, that's capital. You can't, it's not working for you. Get rid of it. Take a loss. And that's what I tell people. Just take the loss and reinvest.
Yeah. And reinvest and buy something else. Because remember, you were going at it with the Tommy Bahama shirts, right?
Yeah,
and,
not anymore.
Not anymore. But why? Because they're not moving as they were before. Remember how?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, see, that audience of older men has gotten old and kind of, they joined the feathered choir, to be nice about it. So there's, although Tommy Bahama itself has changed their styles drastically. Yeah. Everyone has to go after a younger audience. It's just the way the world works.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're like you and you go ahead and you move the inventory, if you're like me, I just, because I have the space and I have the ability to like store it forever, then I will just hold on to it. And I look at it and I see your face. Get rid of it.
Well, it's your decision. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to each seller. But I heard a really good point from a seller once about this. And he said the reason he wants to unload it is because if it's just sitting there for them, he would rather sell it and take that money and invest it in something else that's going to be profitable for them. And so that's their mindset is like, okay, it can sit there and maybe I'll get that price 6 months from now or 2 months from now, or maybe I'll discount it three more times before it eventually sells. But if I just unload it now, I've got cash on hand. I can now use that cash to buy something where I think I'm going to make a 50% profit.
Yeah. And then also, you know, you have the sellers that, for example, we sell clothing, right? So you have to take 300,000 pictures. I mean, we're so happy about the 24 pictures now because you have to show the tag. You have to show the inside. That's a lot of work. So to have that item there only for like 2 months or 3 months and then get rid of it, it just breaks my heart to do it.
Somebody is going to, they haven't yet. I was thinking about trying. Someone's going to invent a setup where you hang a piece of apparel. It takes all the pictures of all the sides, everything. It has cameras inside. And it also uses the Apple tool that does measurements with laser. It measures it. It does everything
like
for you.
A camera photo box.
A camera measure photo box. You just hang it up or show it on the, you know, put it, arrange it, and you push a button and it takes your 12 to 24 pictures. It measures it, puts all the information in a new listing form, and then you move on to the next one.
Someone should invent that. In fact, you don't even need multiple cameras. You can have one camera and you just hang it on something and that thing just rotates.
Well, except you don't want to do anything. So you want a camera for the front, you want a camera for the back, you want a camera for the label. Electronics are cheap.
Yes.
Right? They're cheap. It used to be if you had one digital camera, it's going to cost you a fortune. These iPhones have great cameras.
They got three of them.
They don't cost anything. Right. So you just have cameras all over the box that takes the picture. You just hang it up, push a button, wait 5 seconds, take it out, put it on the rack. Why isn't anyone doing this?
Someone might be.
someone's already off to the patent office with this idea. So yes. If I try to do it, it'll say, sorry, you can't do it.
Right? Yeah. Well, so I also try talking about the cameras and everything else. I don't know if you remember back when we were in a restaurant, you were teaching me how to take pictures.
With a camera.
With a camera, right? And we were taking pictures of the menu. And I always refer to your teaching because, you know, you taught me how to do the angles. That right there. And I don't know if you're still using the phone.
I just use my smartphone, my iPhone 12 Pro or whatever.
So you gave up the Lumix?
Yeah, I don't use them.
No.
But it's interesting. I bet like all of the fundamentals that you taught in that thing are still true, even with the iPhone.
Yes, they are. What's cool about the iPhone is that their Photos app, the in-app editing features are all you need for eBay. So you don't need to have Photoshop. I take pictures for a bunch of things. I edit them on the fly real quick, and it's really made a difference in listing.
Yeah, so let me ask you something. We get a lot of questions about uploading the pictures from the phone, the iPhone. Okay, so they have to be in Helix, or they cannot be in Helix, H-E-I-C?
No. You don't have to worry about that. What I do is I create my listings on a desktop, and I don't put the pictures in. Then I go to the app, and they're saved as drafts. So I can go to each draft, select the edited pictures that I took in batch, and then upload them. And mostly what I'll do is, because I got to double check myself for errors because I make a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Then I say save for later. Once I've got a whole bunch of those ready, I'll go into the desktop, use the bulk upload.
Okay.
And then if there are any errors, it points them out to me so I can make the corrections there. And it just is so much faster. And you don't have to worry about format. The app will take care of that. So you open the eBay app, you go to your drafts, you take the apps off. But this works for Android as well.
Okay. Is it in the simple form or in the new listing form?
Well, the app only comes in one form.
Because, you know, we have the simple form.
Yeah, and no seller who's doing this regularly should be using that simple form.
Exactly.
It's great for the one-off. It's not meant for running a business.
It's meant for the C2C seller who sells a few things and doesn't want to.
Doesn't want to go ahead and think about it.
I wanted to ask you, before we started the recorder, and you wanted to share something, because we always ask our guests, what advice do you have for sellers based on your experience? And I wanted to ask you what your advice was.
So I want to go ahead and talk about what happens when the unexpected happens to you in your business. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer last year, and I ended up having to have chemo and all that. And, you know, you get sick, and you can't be there. But thank goodness that you can run everything from your phone. So, you know, when I was doing the chemo, I would be answering emails, texting, relisting, you know, all that kind of stuff.
During treatment?
Yeah, during treatment.
Well, you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot to do.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, but I have to explain. I mean, it's not like Superwoman. So you go there at 7:30 in the morning, right? And then they hook you up with the IVs and everything and the pour. They put a pour so they don't have to poke you and everything. And then they fill you up with all kinds of drugs to make you feel good. I mean, while you're taking the chemo.
So they do.
Yeah. So you don't feel pain. You don't feel nausea. You don't feel anything. You're just taking the chemo. So you're sitting there for 4 hours. Okay. And what are you doing for 4 hours? So I was doing emails, answering questions, relisting, doing all that kind of stuff. My problem was the fact that if an item sold, the chemo, you know, was on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I was still okay. But Wednesday and Thursday and Friday were horrible, horrible. And so I started feeling good on Saturday and Sunday. So what do you do to prepare for that? Because your listings are still selling, you know, and if you don't have somebody to help you out, what are you going to do? So I increased, and I know that this was bad, but I increased my handling time.
No, that's not bad.
It wasn't bad. I mean, it was perfect solution for your situation.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I want to tell sellers out there that are going through something like this, and it doesn't have to be cancer. It can be any other disease, right? That they are incapacitated, that this is a choice and that eBay provides tools with, you know, stuff like this. I want to go ahead and even venture that I have called up eBay and they had, you know, I've spoken to, you know, customer service and whatever, that they're willing to go ahead and reach out to that buyer and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. I've had people do this for me. So eBay is there to help the sellers, contrary to popular belief.
Well, it's some belief. I mean,
some belief, yeah. Not all of them. But eBay is there to help the sellers. And they got to understand that if eBay helps the sellers, then we all make money.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So we're not in the business of hurting the sellers. And you provided something like this for me, and you really saved my business.
Well, unfortunate that you had cancer and you had to undergo chemo. It seems to me, though, you had a schedule. Was it every week?
No. What happened was it was every 3 weeks.
So you could plan for this because you knew you were going to be out of sorts.
Yes,
on those Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. So they planned the chemo. So you cannot go ahead and have, I mean, certain people have it every day, you know, but a lot, especially the breast cancer, is like they give you like a respite, you know, so where you can go ahead and like, your body needs to, you know, get better before they go ahead and they do the next chemo. And you have to go ahead and have a very good team of doctors with you. But then also you have to have a good team with who you're working with. And eBay is a very caring company. They care, you know, I could have gone to the boards in the community. As a matter of fact, I went to the boards in the community. And there was one lady that has sent a message, and she sent it to me on Wednesday after my chemo. My chemo was Monday. So Wednesday was like one of the worst days. And I didn't answer her within, you know, a few minutes because I wasn't feeling good. And so I answered her the next day and I apologized and said, listen, and you know how I am. I talk about everything, so I don't care. And I said, well, I have cancer. And she says, oh my goodness, I had cancer too 24 years ago, and you're going to make it and you're going to be okay. And I mean,
great supporting community.
It's a great supporting community. And that's why I have to stress to sellers, you know, especially, you know, the new ones that they don't know their way around. Go to the community. Go to the boards. You have questions. You have, you know, you need, you know, help with identifying something. Go to the community. It's all free. We have tons of sellers that participate. How many sellers do we have participating per day?
I don't know a day, but on a weekly basis, it's a couple hundred thousand a week are in the community.
Yeah.
Either reading information or posting.
Yeah. You know, go to the community. That's how I met Griff, going through the community. I knew Griff, you know. I mean,
yeah, I used to be there a lot.
Yes. We used to call you guys the Pinks, right?
Oh, yes.
Remember the Pinks? Yes.
That's because in the first iteration of eBay and the chat areas, if you were an employee, there was a pink background to your post. Or at least the profile mm-hmm. part. Somebody in the community started calling them the Pinks.
Yeah, all
and
the
Pinks. And then it switched to the Blues.
And now
we get an eBay logo.
Yes, but the Pinks were like, we used to go ahead and say, oh my God, the Pinks are coming. And then we knew
and
we
then
were
one day
trouble.
Pink showed up and did a concert. It was great. Someone gave me, there was, who was that? Remember the user who was, his username was Pink Hammer.
Yes.
And somebody sent me a hammer that was had a pink handle.
Oh.
And I still have it at home.
Yeah.
Pink
camera.
And you used to participate a lot in, you know, with the Pinks, okay? And
yeah, that was
Griff
my job.
Yeah, Griff was out there.
I was the original Pink. Sorry, Pink.
Wait a second. I met you in 2000 and you in 2001. And it was really a lot of fun. But right now, I mean, we still, now they have brought it back to the point that, you know, we have monthly meetings with eBay staff that we can ask all kinds of questions. So, and we have different groups, and I mean, we have a group, and I don't know if, Griff, you get into the vintage jewelry, okay? We have a group, a vintage jewelry group, that the Schreiner family is there participating and telling us if this brooch is a Schreiner or not. It's grandson of the founder of Schreiner. We had the mother, 98 years old, I think it was. She just passed a few months ago also.
Yeah.
So
I'm not surprised.
So we get a lot of help from the community. So why not tap into it?
Going back to what we were talking about for the expect the unexpected, what's your prognosis?
So the prognosis was really good. So what happened was in January, I went to the doctor and she says, you don't need a mammogram because you have had mammograms negative for years, so you can skip this year. And I say, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to go ahead and have it. So they found something, and it was 4 millimeters. And I used to go ahead and read mammograms because I was in the medical field. So I looked at it, and I said, it doesn't look bad. Okay. And they said, okay, so let's wait 6 months. So we waited 6 months. And then when I came back in and I saw the screen of the mammogram, I gasped and I knew. So I said, I'm not getting out of this place until you do a biopsy. So they did a biopsy and it came back very aggressive. Okay. And I said, we're scheduling taking it out. So we took it out within 16 days from being diagnosed. We took it out and they got clear margins. They didn't spread and it was it was a stage one. So, you know, so then they said, you most likely will need radiation. And I said, okay, fine. And then I went to the oncologist and they said, no, you need to have chemo if you don't want this thing to go back to, you know, grow.
So the message there is, of course, always screen. So, you know, if you notice anything unusual, but for all the other types of cancers, especially as you get older, you should always screen all the time.
So remember how we used to, we go back so long back, we used to do Bling My Bra.
Oh, yeah. That was on eBay Radio. Yeah,
yes. 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 So we did Bling My Bra and then we did.
No one knows what that is. So we'll have to explain that. Yeah, it was a way for listeners of the old eBay Radio program to raise funds for the Susan B. Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer. And what people did is they created their own bras and then they would list them as an auction on eBay and the proceeds went all to the Komen Foundation.
Yeah. So it was wonderful. And then, you know, I wanted to go ahead. My uncle passed away from prostate cancer. So I wanted to go ahead and do Bling My Shorts, but that didn't take off. The uncomfortable situation there.
Yeah. It doesn't really translate to different parts of the anatomy as effectively as,
So what I would like to go ahead and do is I would like to go ahead and have more community participation on things like this, more support, because it meant a lot. I had a lot of people, you know, including Brian, reaching out to me. And you don't know what that does to somebody that has to go through something like this. It's just overwhelming. I felt the love through the text or the post or the emails and everything else. And it makes you go on. So,
and you're doing okay now?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So,
that's
good. Yeah, I just went to my last ultrasound, you know, the 6 months to clear the whole thing. I have to tell like little story and then you know, we can move on or finish. So I always ask God to go ahead and send me a sign that things were going to be okay. And one of the signs that I asked for is this bird that is a Florida native. And I love this bird. It's a white bird, has a very long beak. I said, it's an ibis.
Okay. Oh, yeah, ibis. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so my last ultrasound mammogram was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Usually those birds are not out because it's too hot. Florida's so hot. You can see them in the morning. So I asked God on my way into the ultrasound, you know, nervous because it's the 6 months and whatever. So I said, please send me a sign with my birds. Okay. And I was like devastated because I was in I-95, no birds anywhere. I'm like sitting there, oh God, oh God. And so as I'm coming out of the exit, this flock of them just flew in front of my car. And I was like, yes. I mean, I almost had to pull over because I had so many tears. Right? Right. I almost had to pull over because I had tears in my eyes. And that's when I knew that I was going to be okay.
So fantastic.
Hey, before we go, Patty, let people know what your user ID is on eBay.
So my user ID is the Shopping Mom 2.
The Shopping Mom and the number 2.
And the number 2.
Why not number 1?
Because somebody took it.
But you try harder. And if you're a certain age, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I got that one.
I don't think a lot of people will.
No.
No?
And then we'll get another email saying, stop with the dad jokes.
Exactly.
I didn't get it, but then I never get jokes.
So it used to be a war between two rental companies and their ad campaign. It was Hertz and Avis. And Avis always ranked as number 2.
It was Hertz.
Hertz was number one.
And Avis says,
we're number 2, but we try harder.
Oh, okay.
Patty, thank you so much for stopping by and talking with
us today. Thank you for having me. I love it.
You can find Patty on eBay under the user ID ShoppingMom2. And
ask away questions. Any questions?
Good. Okay. Well, that you heard it from Patty. Thanks again, Patty.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You got questions?
We've got answers. Boy, I don't know why suddenly the Yiddish comes out every time we do this. We've got answers already. Our very first question was left on our voice line at 888-723-4630. by eBay seller Diane. And I think this is going to take you back a little bit in time, Brian.
Uh-oh.
Listen to this.
Hi, Griff, Brian, and Rebecca. My name is Diane, and I occasionally receive requests to add a gift note in a shipment. I'm always happy to oblige, but I often think it would be a nice option for sellers to be able to add to their listing. Maybe we could even have an optional field to offer gift wrap, like wrap the gifts before we ship them for a small additional fee. Thank you for your podcast. I really look forward to it every week, and I'm always up for some swag. Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, does that bring back memories?
It does.
And how does it bring back memories, Brian?
We used to have a feature like that.
We did. And I had totally forgotten about it until I got this call.
And now I'm trying to remember, why would we have taken it away?
That's a good question.
Now I'm trying to think, like, it's not there now.
No, it's not
but
there.
But we did have it. But it was like over a decade ago.
It
maybe
was over
15 years ago.
There used to be, when you set up a listing, you could check a box that said, provide the option for gift wrap. And I think you could charge
a fee. Yeah. Like $2 or $3 extra, I think, for the gift wrapping.
Yeah. I wonder where that went. Well, anyway, we could wonder all day, but the thing is it doesn't exist anymore, Diane. And
but it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. When I heard her call, I thought, wait a minute, this is another thing that we had and then we gave up and I have no idea why.
Yeah, it was probably some code changeover and someone decided they didn't want to write 100 lines of code.
Yeah. I can tell you this. We don't know why this went away, and maybe we can find out, and who knows, get it back. But in the meantime, Brian, is there anything Diane can do?
If you can afford it, you could offer it as an option in your listing description, as a free option, and track how many buyers ask for gift wrapping or a note over time, keeping a record of the costs per listing where you gift wrap or add a note. If the option is adopted by many buyers and the resulting cost is not easy to absorb as an expense, then consider adding a small handling charge to every listing, cover the cost of gift wrapping or a note.
I don't imagine you'd get a lot of requests for it, but it would be one way for at least tracking it, because you could just say in the description, hey, you know, I'll gift wrap, just let me know. And they have to let you know, when they contact you or when they purchase the item. And another consideration here, Diane, and this is really important. Many buyers, especially during this time of year, they'd be the same buyers who might ask for gift wrapping or a note. They may also ask you to ship the package to the recipient's address, which may not be their address. And if you're offering those services in your listing, you may want to alert buyers in the same descriptions with a text stating in some manner that any ship to address is the buyer's, but are the gift recipients, should be added to the buyer's eBay account. And they should do this prior to making the purchase. So if they're reading the description, they can go to their account, add that address in, and then select it when they make the purchase. And then that's going to be the record. Is this awkward? Oh, you have no idea. It is the most awkward thing in the world.
It definitely is awkward. But that's actually a really good suggestion, too, about adding the address so that the seller and the buyer are protected. And for those instances where a buyer asks a seller to ship to a different address post-payment, the seller always has the option of either obliging the request or canceling the order, problem with the address.
Yeah, you can select that as the reason. I know that's not ideal. And a buyer, when they make a purchase, a lot of buyers rush through checkout. At the point of purchase, they can edit that address. So before they actually click the final button in the checkout flow, they can take the address, they can edit it, and they can make it any address. So if they have the gift recipient's address there, they could add it there. The problem is that option is only available for transaction before payment. Once payment's made, they can't alter the address. And I sometimes wish they could.
Yeah, especially if they were very explicit in saying, hey, you know, why they're changing that address. Because we could then still say, okay, we're gonna protect the seller and we're going to protect the buyer in those scenarios.
Diane, it's a great suggestion. But we have to admit, we don't know why it went away. We can ask if it could be considered in the future.
You know where this should get added? It's like one of those additional marketing things, right? Either through checkout, someone should be able to say, yes, I want to offer gift wrapping services and make it an option
It could just be in the listing flow. It could be a part of the shipping business policy.
Yes.
So you could add this as to each of your business policies, that, and then you have control over it. Maybe some you don't. I'm not going to gift wrap a refrigerator. Sorry.
Come on, Griff.
I just don't have the oomph for doing it, gift wrapping it. Well, anyway, our first email question this week, Brian, was sent to us by seller Megan. And I have to warn you up front, Brian, not only is this a stumper, but it makes me laugh every time I read it. So I'm going to ask you to read it, me.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Hi, Briff. You're both first. I already like Megan.
Well, if you like her now, wait till you read her question.
I have a question about item specific. I sell mainly shoes, and under the item specific for performance activity, there's typing. What kind of shoes does one wear to type, or am I completely missing something? Thank you, Megan. P.S. I don't need a mug. I might need a mug to put something to drink in it to figure out why do we have typing?
I don't know.
Do we really? Did you check?
I did. I checked. And there is a standard option you can check for performance and activity under the shoes item specifics that says typing.
What kind of typing?
I don't know. I mean, is it long distance typing? Is it walking uphill typing? I don't know. Do you need orthopedics to type? I have no idea.
Is this typing on a typewriter or on a computer?
Well, one assumes it's a keyboard of some sort, but maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you're standing up at a desk, there's certain shoes. I have no idea. And Megan, thank you for being Eagle Eye and finding this because you brought joy into my life.
I'm hoping one of our listeners hears this and knows the answer to that.
Yeah, maybe they have an example of the type of shoe you should be wearing when you're typing.
I guess I've been typing wrong all these years. I guess no shoes, no service, no typing.
Oh, no. So, yeah, I have no idea, Megan. I have no idea at all. I'll ask, but I don't think I'll get an answer.
Well, and I do think Megan should take a mug. It's perfect for typing.
Yeah, our mugs are designed for typists.
Well, Megan, we think the addition of typing for shoes was probably an oversight, but we're going to check with somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe someone might have an example of a shoe that is perfect or made for the strenuous activity of typing they can share with us.
Yeah. So 888-723-4630 or podcast@ebay.com. And if you have a picture wearing these specialized special shoes while you're typing, please send it along.
Our next email question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Steve, who wrote, "Hi, Griff and Brian."
I'm first again. Yes.
Yes. I'm Steve. My store is Dallas Coins and Collectibles. I'm writing to find out if a category could be added to the eBay standard envelope. I sell die cuts that are for scrapbooks. These are very light cardstock products that almost weigh nothing. I printed postage today for one, that with a padded envelope. First class package weighed 0.5 ounce, rounded to 1 ounce. Postage cost was $3.98 on a $1.50 item. These really don't need the padded envelope and could be sent with an eBay standard envelope just like stamps. Had a customer email me today asking if they could be mailed with a 60-cent stamp. Unfortunately, I had to explain that wasn't available due to tracking needed to be purchased for seller and buyer protection, and eBay hasn't allowed for the cheaper postage for the category as of yet. I think I lost a sale, if not many more sales, for this very reason. So if there is any way the eBay standard envelope could be added to the craft scrapbooking die cuts category, that would be great. Thank you for the podcast. I learned something new on every episode. Steve Cooper. And P.S., if you're still giving out eBay mugs, I would love one. We can get you a mug for sure, Steve. And that's an interesting request.
It's not the only one we've ever received.
Right.
Yeah.
And as stated on the eBay standard envelope page in the seller center under shipping, there's a plan to expand the service to more categories over time. That is all the information we have about that right now, especially specific to die cut.
Yeah, this service was negotiated with USPS as a part of that negotiation. I believe there was a test period where it had to be make sure all the kinks were ironed out. And if you've used it for the categories in which it is applied today, you may have had some of those kinks. Mostly it's the USPS clerks not understanding what the service is. Yeah, we would love to be able to expand it into other categories. Unfortunately, we can't right now. But also, there are ways that you can make this still attractive to buyers by not selling them as singles. Maybe you're selling them as multiples. That way, you can charge a little bit more for them, and then the shipping may not be that onerous. But I would not make the assumption that one buyer says to you, hey, will you ship these by stamp for 60 cents, that all of your customers are going away. I would not make that assumption, or that you're losing a lot of sales.
The other option is to combine shipping. So use the marketing tools to do one, like buy one and you get the second one for free shipping, because it probably won't add any cost if you add 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 additional die cuts in there.
They weigh nothing virtually. Right. I don't know why you're using a padded envelope either. You can use, if it weighs less, you can use a regular like manila envelope if you need to. You can protect them with, you know, a little piece of cardboard. You can cut down on the weight that way as well. And over time, as the negotiated service that we've contracted with UPS called, that we call eBay Standard Envelope, as that becomes more smoothly operating, it will expand it out to other categories. But there's no schedule for doing that, and there's no list of categories that are up next.
Like which one's next.
And as you can imagine, you sell in that one category. I assume there are sellers in tons of categories with similar sort of merchandise who would love it as well. Anyway, I hope that answers your question.
Well, it won't be a very satisfactory answer because he's still going to have the same situation. But
yeah, I think you have to make lemonade with the lemons. Brian, this next question is about free listing allotments, and it was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Nicholas. Hi, each month I have 250 free listings. I've noticed recently that even when I don't make a post, the number has been decreasing. I've read that listings that carry over from one month to the next will be deducted from the 250 total, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I have over 500 listings, and I haven't been maxing out at 250 total. Hoping you could shed some light on this. I know you were looking for suggestions on what to replace for the eBay for Business coffee mugs with. Not sure if anyone suggested measuring tape or maybe tape dispensers. And those are two great ideas.
Those are really good ideas.
Well, I love the tape dispenser one. So yeah, thanks, Nicholas. We'll look into that. Anyway, let's talk about his question about how free a listing allotments work.
Well, Nicholas, the free listing allotment renews monthly and includes any previous listings that are still live. So if at the beginning of the month you have 500 listings that were previously listed, you've already surpassed the monthly free listing allotment.
That's correct. And I think it's important to consider here that that allotment is not 250 free listings a month cumulative that are added on to any previous listings. The allotment isn't infinitely cumulative. Alternatively, if you started the month with, say, 100 live listings from the previous month, you would then have 150 free listings available for that month.
Right.
So if you have 250 or more live listings, that's your allotment.
Right.
So that you can't add on to that every month, like, oh, you know, at the end of the year, I've got 12,000 listings.
Right.
Or
get another 250 free ones.
Right. I hope that answers your question. I trust it does. Now, our next is our last question, and this was also called in, and I thought we better listen, so let's listen.
Hi, Brian, Griff, and Rebecca. This is Tina with Lake Exchange. I recently, shall we say accidentally, sold an item to Germany, and the buyer sent me such a sweet message. I thought, okay, that's it. I'm signing up for Lucid. I completed the Lucid registration, which was quite easy. And then I purchased a small amount of, I presume it's for the packaging disposal or reprocessing through a third-party provider. Of course, a Facebook group I'm in had great debate about, well, if you send through GSP, you don't have to worry about Lucid. If you could clarify that. And what got me thinking further was, if, in fact, I shipped to Erlinger, which I did, I used GSP, if Erlinger repacks it using more materials than what I'm reporting, how is that going to balance out, or is that of concern? I listen to the podcast every week. I've been a seller for a year now, and I'm always learning. Thanks again.
Tina brings up an interesting question.
She does.
As far as the Lucid question, and I'm going to specifically focus in on Lucid and GSP, because right now the entire Lucid question that we've talked about a few episodes back when it was first announced is still under kind of flux. So there are now exemptions for sellers. If you're not a business seller on eBay, you don't have to worry. If you are a business seller and the tax ID number you've used is your social security number, you don't have to worry. You're not required to be part of that program. Otherwise, you are. But there's an effort internally with eBay and the shipping team that in the next 6 months to a year, making eBay the seller of record and handling all of these packaging concerns, because it's already starting to get complex. Now, France is getting in on the act, and we assume the entire European Union will get on the act. My advice to sellers right now is if you make a lot of sales to Germany, then you should probably register for Lucid and then go with a third party. The one that's recommended for eBay sellers is Leeson Zero. Again, if you are not a business seller indicated on eBay as a business seller, or if you are and you're using your social security number, you don't have to worry about this at all. The question that Tina had, which I'll now address, is whether or not GSP preempts, and it doesn't. Shipping something through the Global Shipping Program does not mean that you're exempt from the German Packaging Act called Lucid. That's one thing to correct.
Though long-term, hopefully, it's something that would get addressed or will be addressed by GSP, but it's not currently.
Not currently.
So if you're using GSP, you would need Lucid if all the other things that you mentioned apply.
Right. And if you don't sell that much and you don't want to go through the registration process and you are a business seller and you're not using your social security, but you're using an employee identification number, then you may want to consider just putting sales to Germany on your restricted list. And we talked about how to do that in a previous episode. I can't remember the number. If you go back the last 20 episodes, there's an episode, I think, within there that we talk about the German Packaging Act and how to do that.
As far as parcel packaging, the GSP or Global Shipping Program team in Kentucky never changes, adds, or removes packing material.
That's right.
All they do is carefully open a package to ensure that what's inside matches the description.
Right. So they never repack anything. So they're not going to add any material and then it's going to go against your allotment. They have these wonderful methods and tools they use for opening a package and then resealing it, and you would never know that somebody was in the package looking at it. They're genius at it.
I want to go visit just to see that.
Well, I want to go visit because the warehouse has changed so much since I went, it was over 10 years ago with Jeff Terrell. We made a trip out there, and I think that was 2010 or 11. So it is definitely over 10 years ago. It was when the program first started, and it was really impressive. Because the warehouse was pretty big, but at that time they showed us the next door that they were going to add on, and it was going to more than triple the size. Well, the one thing I loved is we all had to go through metal detectors. All the employees have to go through metal detectors going in and going out so that they're not, you know, trying to smuggle stuff out of the center, which I found very fascinating. But the tools they had set up were really eye-opening. The shipment tools I had never seen work before. They have these scanners. Every package goes through a scanner. And it's set up so you don't have to position the package so it's being read. There's scanners on like all sides.
Oh, so it's going to get the barcode
no matter what side it's on. And then each package is inspected by an actual person and they sit at a station. It's like a grocery store with conveyor belts and they're sitting there and they inspect each package and then make sure that it's okay to ship. And then they'll put the second label on it. And then it gets put into these enormous bins, and each bin is a separate country. And when the bin fills up, which they tend to do over the period of a day, then they're put on the loading dock onto a truck that then takes them to the airport in Erlanger.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's amazing what those types of facilities, when you get into that massive industrialization and processing and the volume of processing.
Well, that's it for this week's You Got Questions segment, Brian.
And if you have a question for us here at the eBay for Business podcast, why not call our voice line at 888-723-4630 and share it with your fellow sellers.
And we will do our best to answer it. That's 888-723-4630. You can call anytime, any day of the week, at your convenience. You can leave a question or a comment, and if it's appropriate, we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now, it's your weekly three-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Every day. We're approaching the last leg of the 2022 holiday selling season, so be prepared for the occasional buyer request to maybe gift wrap an item or maybe ship it to a different address, and you can prepare by adding these services and instructions on how to do them in your item descriptions.
And need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, Mark Yeager, Vice President of Operations at TaxAct, returns to talk about the IRS changes to 1099Ks, which go in effect this year. And we'll talk about who can expect to get a 1099K in the in January or February of 2023 and what you should do with it once you get one.
And we'd again like to thank our guest this week, eBay seller Patty Whitlock.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.